Obviously, I got time on it. Tonight, and possibly over the course of the next class, we're going to go over in depth the 10 plagues and just make some observations, go break it up into sections and look at it in its order, and just make a few observations here and there, maybe draw out a couple of things here and there we never noticed before. So we'll do a lot of reading for the next course of the next class or two. So we'll go ahead and start with Exodus chapter 1 and begin at verse 8. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, "Behold, the people of Israel are too many and too mighty for us. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply. And if war breaks out, they join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land. And therefore they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with heavy burdens. And they built for Pharaoh store cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied, and the more they spread abroad. And the Egyptians were in dread of the people of Israel. And so they ruthlessly made the people of Israel work as slaves and made their lives bitter with hard service, mortar and brick, all kinds of work in the field. And all their work, they ruthlessly made them work as slaves." So we see their fear of this growing number of people as this is going on. Again, here we see mainly here the hard labor that the Israelites are under, things they're having to endure. So this process is starting of them having to work hard under this oppression. Verse 15. Then the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shiphrah, and the other Puah, "When you serve as midwife to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a son, you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, she shall live." But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but let the male children live. And so the king of Egypt called the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this and let the male children live?" The midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwife comes to them." And so God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very strong. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families. And then Pharaoh commanded all his people, "Every son that is born to the Hebrews, you shall cast into the Nile, but you shall let every daughter live." So again, this is what sets the stage for the birth of Moses coming up. Chapter 2. Now a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months. So again, we see Moses at 3 months, and as the story goes, he's taken, of course, into Pharaoh's home. We won't read through that, but we all are familiar with that story. So at 3 months, this process begins. Let's get down to verse 11, chapter 2. One day when Moses had grown up, so he's already been brought into Pharaoh's home, he went out to his people and he looked on their burdens. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his people. He looked this way and that, and seeing no one, he struck down the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. When he went out the next day, behold, two Hebrews were struggling together. And he said to the man in the wrong, "Why do you strike your companion?" And he answered, "Who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you mean to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" And Moses was afraid and thought, "Surely this thing is known." And when Pharaoh heard of it, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and stayed in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. So, of course, some time has passed. We see Moses going to see his people. After this event, again, he leaves and he stays away until God will appear to him in the future. Turn over to Acts chapter 7. Time frame on these events. Of course, the portion I didn't read there from Exodus chapter 2 was a very short portion, but it covered a lot of time. So we saw him being put away when he was 3 months old. Next thing we know, he goes to see his brethren. Acts chapter 7, when Stephen's talking. Verse 30. And so begin at verse 23. When he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brothers, the children of Israel. So he's 40 when this happens. So the time you're 40 when. Verse 24, and seeing one of them being wronged, he defended the oppressed man and avenged him by striking down the Egyptian. That is what we just read. He supposed that his brothers would understand that God was giving them salvation by his hand, but they did not understand. And on the following day, he appeared to them as they were quarreling and tried to reconcile them, saying, men, you are brothers. Why do you wrong each other? But the man who was wronging his neighbor thrust him aside, saying, who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday? At this retort, Moses fled and became an exile in the land of Midian, where he became the father of two sons, we're told here. So this is the time frame here. You may see he's 40 years old when he leaves Egypt when this happens. Go down to verse 30. Now when 40 years had passed, so he's left, he's gone to Midian, 40 years has passed, an angel appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai in a flame of fire in a bush. So how old does this make him now? He's 80. Okay, so this is the time frame. It's 40 years later, at age of 80, and God appears to him. Back to Exodus chapter 3. This sets the stage for this, and we're going to read through chapter 3. Moses being 80. And all likely, or as we see, he spent very, very little time with his people, his own people. He's always either been in Pharaoh's home or he's been away in Midian. Now Moses, verse 1, was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And he said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. So he identifies himself to Moses. Moses hid his face, and he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, and I know their sufferings. Now keep in mind, Moses also saw this, but he saw it 40 years earlier. He's been withdrawn from this for 40 years. Verse 8, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites, Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites, Jebusites. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, but I will be with you, and this will be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. So this sign was for Moses. That's a new sign for you when you come out of here. And keep in mind, they were oppressed badly when Moses was born. 40 years later, I'm sure that oppression didn't get any less. And now it's been an additional 40 years. So a total of these 80 years have been oppressed during this time period. It's getting worse. Verse 13. Then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel, of course he remembers his last encounter with his own brethren, how he was shooed out, and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God says to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. So God gives himself a name here to Moses. This is something new as well. We'll talk about that later. God also said to Moses, say to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob has appeared to me, saying, I have observed you and what has been done to you in Egypt. And I promise that I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites, Amorites and Perizzites and Hivites and Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they will listen to your voice. And you and the elders of Israel shall go to the king of Egypt and say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us And now please let us go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. That is going to be their request during this time of these plagues. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless compelled by a mighty hand. And so I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all the wonders that I will do in it. After that, he will let you go. And of course, God at this time is talking about all these plagues, not just one, because he knows this heart of the heart is going to continue to happen over the course of this time. Verse 21, and I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, as we'll see that as well. And when you go, you shall not go empty, but each woman shall ask of her neighbor. Keep in mind, each woman shall ask. They're not going to steal. They're going to ask. Because God is giving them favor at this time, when this time happens, when we get there. Each woman shall ask of her neighbor, any woman who lives in her house, for silver and gold jewelry and for clothing. And you shall put them on your sons and on your daughters, so you shall plunder the Egyptians. Again, they're doing this plundering by asking. They're not stealing. So again, here the stage is set for what is going to happen. In chapter 4, God gives signs for Moses to show his brethren. In case, you know, they don't believe I am who I say I am. He gives them a couple of signs to show his brethren so that they will believe him. And God also tells him that his brother Aaron will be his mouthpiece. As you remember, we won't read it, but Moses made all these excuses. I'm not eloquent of speech. I can't do this. And God kept on saying, you know, I'll do this for you instead. Aaron will speak for you. Now go and do as I have commanded you to do these things. And so he goes. Chapter 4, verse 27. After all these things are done, Moses returns to Egypt. Verse 27 beginning. The Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And so he went, and he met him at the mountain of God and kissed him. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord which he had sent him to speak, and all the signs that he commanded him to do. Okay, the rod, the snake, the withered hand, and so forth. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the people of Israel. That's what God asked them to do. Aaron spoke all the words that the Lord had spoken to Moses. So they've had a conversation here. Moses has told Aaron, and now Aaron's telling the people. And then Moses did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed. This is key. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the people of Israel, and that he had seen their affliction, they bowed their heads and they worshiped. So upon this talk that Aaron did, Moses did to Aaron, Aaron did to the people, and these signs, we see that the people believe. They're ready for this. They've been oppressed for a long, long time. This has been going on. They're ready to get out. Chapter 5.
Great.
Yes. Well, I mean, he was taking up, you know, Pharaoh's daughter brought him in,
yeah.
And so he was trained.
I think that course I read that he had spoken the language, and I'm thinking, well, why was he slow of mouth? What was the problem there?
Well,
how do you reconcile that? Where I read that his speech, how he was taught well, he had the best education, and then all of a sudden he can't speak to people.
Somebody asked us better. I've heard. Things maybe he stuttered. We don't know that. He may have been well trained, but sometimes it's still difficult to talk in front of crowds.
There was something about his speech, about the language, but I'll try to look at it. I can't find
it. Does anybody have an answer for that? I'll have to go back and look. It's probably one of the sections that we skipped in there.
Okay.
But he was raised as Pharaoh's daughter's son. So
chapter 7, which is talking about.
Acts 7.
Verse 20, at that time Moses was born with a pleasing God and grew up in his father's house for 3 months. When he was sent out, Pharaoh's daughter took him away and brought him up their own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, was mighty in words and deeds.
How do you reconcile that?
Well, then this is my opinion. You know, even though he's well schooled and well learned, doesn't mean you're a good speaker.
Mighty words and deeds.
So, but well schooled in knowing those works and deeds. Maybe not doing those things, but knowing those things. Does anyone have a better answer than that?
You have to remember also that it's been 40 years since that was. Yeah. He went to a different land now. You know, it doesn't tell us what all went on those 40 years.
Yeah. Same thing, maybe, you know, you kind of forget what you don't practice over a short period of time. Here it's been 40 years as well.
Some people are not. Some people just aren't eloquent, no matter how knowledgeable they are. Right. They're just not comfortable. And I think the Bible tells us about how humble Moses was.
Any other comments? Chapter 5. Afterward, so the people believe, afterward Moses and Aaron went and said to Pharaoh, so this is their first encounter with Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. But Pharaoh said, who is the Lord, that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and moreover, I will not let Israel go. Then they said, the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. But the king of Egypt said to them, Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people away from their work? Get back to your burdens. And Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land are now many, and you make them rest from their burdens. The same day, Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their foremen, you shall no longer give the people straw to make bricks, as in the past. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. But the number of bricks that they made in the past, you shall impose on them. And you shall by no means reduce it, for they are idle. Therefore they cry, let us go and offer sacrifice to our God. Let heavier work be laid on the men, that they may labor at it, and pay no regard to the lying words." So again, we had the first encounter with Pharaoh. They believed when Moses came to them. And here was the first thing that happens to them. Work gets harder, even more on them. Some time passes, and we see here in a minute that even Moses loses some faith. Turn over to verse 22. After all this has happened, these bricks are going and so forth. Verse 22. Then Moses turned to the Lord and said, O Lord, why have you done evil to this people? Why did you ever send me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people, and you have not delivered your people at all. So either out of frustration, or maybe lack of faith in himself, or lack of faith, whatever he expected to happen didn't happen at this time. But he was told Pharaoh would do what? Not let you go. His heart's going to be hardened. Chapter 6. But the Lord said to Moses, after Moses questions him about this, now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand he will send them out, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of his land. God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they live as sojourners. So here he says, even though I appeared to them, he didn't make himself known to them. Remember Moses, he says, who are you? Well, I am. He made himself known to Moses, who went further with Moses. Verse 5, moreover, I have heard the groaning of the people of Israel, whom the Egyptians hold as slaves, and I have remembered my covenant. Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out and under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will redeem with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God who has brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you into the land that I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord. Moses spoke thus to the people of Israel. But what happens here? They did not listen to Moses because of their broken spirit and the harsh slavery. The first response, they believed, they were happy, they were joyful. The work got harder. And now they won't even listen to Moses. This has turned their ears from Moses. This is the point of why these plagues have to come. So the Lord said to Moses, go in, tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the people of Israel go out of this land. But Moses said to the Lord, behold, the people of Israel have not listened to me. How then shall Pharaoh listen to me? For I am of uncircumcised lips. But the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron and gave them a charge about the people of Israel and about Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt. So again, notice here, big point, the people no longer believe. They have no more faith in what this man Moses has said. And of course, this sets the stage for the plagues, which are, again, I think they're just as much for the children of Israel as they are for Pharaoh. The estimate of Pharaoh's change of heart and so forth, it's there for the Egyptians to see, but this is also there so the children of Israel will learn this lesson that God's with them, so they can do what? Pass it on to their children and so forth. It has to be very impressive upon them and on them so they can remember these things. Chapter 7. And the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and your brother Aaron shall tell Pharaoh to let the people of Israel go out of his land." So again, Aaron's been mistaken here. "But I will harden Pharaoh's heart. And though I multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, Pharaoh will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt and bring my hosts, my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great acts of judgment. The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring out the people of Israel from among them." Moses and Aaron did so. They did just as the Lord commanded them. Now Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 years old when they spoke to Pharaoh. So we have their ages here, Aaron being 3 years older than Moses. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "When Pharaoh says to you, 'Prove yourselves by working a miracle,' then you shall say to Aaron, 'Take your staff and cast it down before Pharaoh, that it may become a serpent.'" And so Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as God the Lord commanded. Aaron cast down his staff before Pharaoh and his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh summoned the wise men and the sorcerers, and they, the magicians of Egypt, also did the same by their secret arts. For each man cast down his staff, and they became serpents. But Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. And still Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them, as the Lord had said, after seeing this. So again, note here that Moses was going to be like God to Pharaoh, and Aaron was going to be like his prophet. We see again Moses is 80, Aaron's 83. Magicians could duplicate this miracle, and they'll do so in the future on future miracles as well. We will see that Moses leaves and he returns the next day. Verse 14. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning as he is going out to the water." So a different location here, a specific location, which he does a couple of times. "Stand on the bank of the Nile to meet him. Take in your hand the staff that turned into a serpent," the same staff. "And you shall say to him, 'The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, sent me to you, saying, Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. But so far you have not obeyed. Thus says the Lord, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, with the staff that is in my hand, I will strike the water that is in the Nile, and it shall turn into blood. The fish in the Nile shall die. The Nile will stink. The Egyptians will grow weary of drinking water from the Nile.' The Lord said to Moses, 'Say to Aaron, take your staff and stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over the rivers and their canals and their ponds and all their pools of water, so that they may become blood. And there shall be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, even in the vessels of wood and the vessels of stone.' Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded in the sight of Pharaoh and the sight of his servants." So they're seeing this. They're doing this in the sight so Pharaoh knows where this is coming from. "He lifted up the staff and he struck the water in the Nile, as he said. All the water in the Nile turned into blood. And the fish in the Nile died, and the Nile stank, so that the Egyptians could not drink water from the Nile. And there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. But the magicians of Egypt did the same by their secret arts. So Pharaoh's heart remained hardened, and he would not listen to them, as the Lord had said. And Pharaoh turned and went into his house, and he did not take even this to heart. And all the Egyptians dug along the Nile for water to drink, for they could not drink the water of the Nile." Verse 25, 7 full days passed after the Lord had struck the Nile. So this goes on for at least 7 days. Again, this was performed outside by the Nile River on its banks. All the water, even the water in the towns, everywhere it was affected. As we saw, the magicians could reproduce this miracle by their tricks. Again, we see 7 full days pass before Moses comes again. Notice Pharaoh never asked for this plague to be removed. Did you notice that? He was just unimpressed. He walked back in his house, but he never asked for this to be removed. They did find water by digging. Maybe that's why they still had a source of water, but he never asked for this to be removed. He does future plagues. Chapter 8. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go into Pharaoh and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. But if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will plague all your country with frogs. The Nile shall swarm with frogs that shall come up into your house and into your bedroom and on your bed, into the houses of your servants and your people, into your ovens and your kneading bowls. The frogs shall come up on you and on your people and on all your servants.' The Lord said to Moses, 'Say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your staff over the rivers, over the canals, and over the pools, and make frogs come up on the land of Egypt.' So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. But the magicians did the same by their secret arts and made frogs come up on the land of Egypt." So again, the magicians could reproduce this. How? Don't know. It's all tricks. I watch magicians on TV. You do too. Don't know how they do things. There's trickery to those things. But next, we're going to see something different out of Pharaoh that we didn't see before. Verse 8. Then Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, "Plead with the Lord to take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go to sacrifice to the Lord." Moses said to Pharaoh, "Be pleased to command me when I am to plead for you and for your servants and for your people, that the frogs may be cut off from you and your houses and be left only in the Nile." And he said, "Tomorrow." Moses says, "Be as you say, so that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. The frogs shall go away from you and your houses and your servants and your people. They shall be left only in the Nile." So Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh. Moses cried to the Lord about the frogs, as he had agreed with Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. The frogs died out in the houses and courtyards and the fields. And they gathered them together in heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that they were a respite, he hardened his heart. He would not listen to them, as the Lord had said. So here for the first time we see that Pharaoh actually pleads, "Take this away. Take this plague away. Please have it removed." Moses forces him at that time to choose the day. "I'll do it. You tell me when." And he says, "Tomorrow." And again, that was so that Pharaoh would know that this came from God and was removed by God. The next day, the plague stops as requested. Pharaoh had said that they could go, but then he changes his mind. Verse 16. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the earth." Now notice there's going to be something different about this plague from the other two. They didn't go to Pharaoh. This is unannounced. The Lord said to Moses, start back again, verse 16. The Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the earth, so it may become gnats in all the land of Egypt." And they did so. Aaron stretched out his hand and with his staff and struck the dust of the earth. And there were gnats on man and beast. All the dust of the earth became gnats in the land of Egypt. Magicians tried by their secret arts to produce gnats, but they could not. And so there were gnats on man and beast. Then the magicians said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." But Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them as the Lord had said. So we see here again, this plague appears to be unannounced to Pharaoh. It's the first of three plagues that appear to be unannounced. This is the first of them. Magicians, again, could not reproduce. In fact, they even went on to say, "This is the finger of God." Verse 20. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Rise up early in the morning and present yourself to Pharaoh." Notice again, Pharaoh didn't ask for that to be removed. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Rise up early in the morning and present yourself to Pharaoh as he goes out to the water." So this is another water scene, another scene by the bank here. "And say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Or else, if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you, and your servants and your people, and into your houses, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be filled with swarms of flies. And also, the ground on which they stand But on that day I will set apart the land of Goshen, where my people dwell, so that no swarms of flies shall be there, that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. Thus I will put a division between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall happen. And the Lord did so, and there came great swarms of flies into the house of Pharaoh and to his servants' houses throughout all the land of Egypt, and the land was ruined by the swarm of flies. Again, second time they meet Pharaoh, not in his home, but we're told by the water, and it's early in the morning when this happens. It's the first time that God has shelters the children of Israel from these plagues. He separates them and says, it's going to happen to you, but not from my people. Again, whose benefit is this for? Why do this separation? Obviously, God doesn't want them to suffer, of course. But also, this benefit is for Pharaoh. But it's also for the Hebrews. Why? Because they didn't believe Moses the last time he went to them. And so these plagues are just for Pharaoh and they're for the children of Israel as well. Last portion, verse 25. Then Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, go sacrifice to your God within the land. But Moses says, it would not be right to do so. Tell them to stay in the land, not go away so far. For the offerings we sacrifice to the Lord our God are an abomination to the Egyptians. If we sacrifice offerings abominable to the Egyptians before their eyes, will they not stone us? We must go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God, as he tells us. And so Pharaoh said, I will let you go to sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only you must not go very far away. Plead for me. Then Moses says, behold, I am going out from you, and I will plead with the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow. Only let not Pharaoh cheat again by letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord, or not letting us go. So Moses went out from Pharaoh, and he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord did as Moses asked, and removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. Not one remained. But Pharaoh hardened his heart this time also, and did not let the people go. Again, Pharaoh offers to let them go, but you can't go 3 days away. Stay close by. And again, he refuses to let them go. And we'll stop there. Questions or comments?